You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Azania Mosaka
on 702.
So in December of 2019, there's an organization that was formed called the South African Anti-Money Laundering Integrated Task Force. And it's a public-private partnership between the banks and the Financial Intelligence Center. And they have a number of objectives, and they have a particular mandate, and they bring together a number of skills. So we'll look at the work that they do in an effort to stop financial crimes, in an effort, in fact, to solve other crimes through financial intelligence. And we're fundamentally looking at it because Friday was human trafficking a day that calls for the end of human slavery. And they also play a part in investigating matters pertaining to human trafficking. And so for this conversation, we're joined by Roseanne Ganni. She is a steering committee member at SAMLIT, that's the South African Anti-Money Laundering Integrated Task Force, just to shed more light on how they assist in the fight against human slavery. As we've often heard in the past, we've heard from survivors of human trafficking, we've heard from NGOs that do work in this area, and we're often told that it's a very tough crime to solve, number one, and then number two, that it forms part of a greater network of a crime, of crime syndicates. And what component is this following, this tracking of the movement of money in solving these crimes? Roseanne is with us on the line, and we'll also take your questions. 011-883-0702. Roseanne, thank you for your time. Hello.
Hi, Zanya. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity and the platform to talk about SAMLIT, as well as our focus on combating modern slavery and human trafficking.
Yes, but tell us more about what you do.
So, I mean, you've already spoken a little bit about SAMLIT. Mm. It's essentially been established by our Financial Intelligence Center in South Africa with the support of National Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank. It's supposed to bridge the gap between the public sector and the private sector. And we've got a lot of private sector participants, including 26 of the South African banks, BASA, which is the Banking Association of South Africa, and SABIC as well. Mm. And it's chaired by the director of the Financial Intelligence Center, Advocate Kanyile. The ultimate purpose of SAMLIT is really to enhance collaboration and cooperation between the banking sector and law enforcement so that we can work together to effectively and efficiently combat financial crime. One of the ways that we are looking to do this is by establishing expert working groups, or EWGs as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And these conduct research on a specific type of financial crime. We use these forums to identify key markets, trends, typologies, and then provide solutions to both the banking sector and law enforcement on the prevalence of the particular crime, how to identify it through financial data,
yes,
and then how to combat these crimes.
Right. And we'll get to understand those particular typologies, those that are unique, what you've picked up in South Africa a bit later. But I also want to look at some of your successes. You're fairly young. SAMLIT was established in December of 2019. Have you had any impact? What would you say your track record has been like?
I think in the short time since SAMLIT has been established, we've actually seen tremendous traction due to the increased collaboration between the banking sector and law enforcement. So, you know, just offhand, I can say we've had over 3,200 high-quality financial reports being issued by the Financial Intelligence Center. We've seen over 37 arrests. We've seen the institution of over 22 criminal cases, a freezing of over 90 bank accounts. We've had over 248 million rand recovered by SARS. And even better, we've seen over 600 million rand recovered and returned back to the fiscus. So I think the value add has really been fantastic.
What are the challenges, though, in investigating financial crimes, especially as part of investigating or solving other crimes?
So if I have to look at something like modern slavery and human trafficking, which is the working group that I currently chair, I think the gap has really been the sharing of information. We're aware that there are a host of organizations that are working to combat MSHT in South Africa. So organizations like the United Office for Drugs and Crime, you know, Love, Justice, the National Freedom Network. What we've lacked, though, is the flow of information from those organizations to the financial sector and to law enforcement, mm-hmm. and also communication between law enforcement and the private sector. So what happens is when you're trying to clamp down on financial flows, it's very difficult to do it without the full picture for any organization.
Right.
And having had discussions with, for example, the NPA last week, they were so excited to partner with us because a big part of the picture that they miss is being able to track the financial flows effectively. They don't have the skills. They don't have the systems that, you know, financial institutions do in terms of monitoring and surveillance to be able to pick up on typologies, flows, et cetera. So that's been one of the challenges, and that's certainly one of the focus areas for us through this EWG.
Mm. So let's look at human trafficking, human slavery, and the complicated nature of this particular crime and where your services come in. I was outlining a little bit earlier that, you know, we've heard from different role players over the years, interviewed survivors not too long ago. We've heard from NGOs that do the work in helping those that have survived this trauma to re-enter society and to re-establish themselves again in society and to find, to escape successfully and to successfully reintegrate. But we haven't, and what we always hear is that human trafficking is part of a broader syndicate, crime syndicate, and that it's not in isolation, but that there is a broader network that it is a, that that's a part of it. So how does tracing the movement of money assist in solving this crime?
So the financial sector has a key role to play. Where the traffickers use the formal banking sector to transfer and launder illegal profits, banks and money service businesses have access to financial data that we can use to actually identify suspicious behaviors and transactional activity and then provide the evidence needed to disrupt it and prosecute the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. We've got a wealth of customer data, transactional data of both traffickers and the victims at their disposal. But I think, you know, what is important is for us to be able to understand the indicators and the patterns that indicate MSHD activity. You hit the nail on the head in terms of saying that it's a very complicated crime. There's so many predicate offenses which are linked to human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So if we pick up something through our monitoring and surveillance, or the FIC does on their side, it's very difficult to pinpoint that human trafficking, you know, is the crime on a standalone basis. There's normally something else which is attached to it as well, bribery, corruption, fraud, etc. So we need to be able to build our red flags into monitoring and surveillance and work with the proper agencies so that through the sharing of information, mm-hmm. we're able to identify specific lists in terms of suspected traffickers, organizations which are associated with the crime. And as we start to build, you know, this information base, we'll be able to more effectively use our monitoring and surveillance to look at the flows and ultimately up to, you know, the key perpetrators associated and not just the guys on the ground, looking at the actual syndicate.
And is this a capability that just looking at the difficulty in solving these crimes in the past and not just this particular one, and because I know you're on this working group, but there are other complex crimes, you know, around theft, robbery, fraud, Ponzi and pyramid schemes, bribery, for instance, just corruption, the illegal wildlife trade that just are difficult. Even terrorism, when you think of the movement of financing of terrorist activities, that can benefit, that this capability, this formation, the SAMLIT formation, will be able to help us in solving.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And that's why it's such a value add for us. We've seen these kinds of FISPs, as we call them, financial information sharing partnerships, prosper in other countries. There aren't a lot of them, and SAMLIT is actually the first one which has been established in Africa as a whole. So I think South Africa is making great strides on bridging this gap between the public and private sector so that, you know, we can continue to see more success in terms of prosecution.
Mm-hmm. And then let's look at those stats. Earlier you talked about the typologies in South Africa. Tell us more about that.
So do you want to know specifically about typologies in relation to human trafficking and modern slavery?
Yeah, let's look at them through the lens of modern slavery.
Okay, perfect. So I think, you know, looking at modern slavery and human trafficking in the South African complex is a difficult one. Mm. We know globally that this is a crime which is generating over $150 billion a year. We know over 40 million people are trapped in modern slavery worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
But the difficulty is getting specific stuff for South Africa. Because we haven't been, you know, really making the level of progress that we should be, both on the financial services side, government, prosecutions, etc. At this point, we don't have reliable data specifically for the South African context. There are certain things that we do know, though, for South Africa. We do know that there are certain stats that are available. So, for example, we know South Africa is a source, transit, and destination country. We know that there are about 155,000 people who are enslaved here. What this means is that people are trafficked from South Africa to other countries. So people are sourced here to be taken to other countries.
Hmm.
People are trafficked through South Africa on their way to their planned destination, or they come to South Africa having been trafficked from another country.
Hmm.
We also know that there's a higher rate for females than boys, with 55.5% of all trafficked people in South Africa being female and 44.5% being male. I think what's more disturbing is that more than 3/4 of all victims are between the ages of 12 and 25 years old.
Oh.
So we're looking at really, you know, vulnerable populations. We also know that there are factors which would increase human trafficking. So issues in government, poverty, corruption, temporary working positions. All of these are present in South Africa, so it makes it an environment which is conducive to human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Through the expert working group, we've been able to identify some specific purposes for human trafficking in South Africa. So we've seen things like forced labor and slavery, which is mostly in farms. It's mostly relating to young males from poorer African countries.
Yeah.
Sexual exploitation, which everybody would be aware of, again, mostly relating to female victims. Girls are trafficked from rural to urban areas and for sexual exploitation and domestic servitude. Another one is black market organ harvesting. So South Africa is said to be a prominent place for organ harvesting because of the weaker South African currency against, for example, the dollar. We also have only 2% of our population on the organ transplant registry,
mm-hmm.
which is increasing the demand for black market organs. And many qualified doctors are actually willing to perform these transplants.
Hmm.
The demand for black market organs is driven even further by the use in this country for traditional medicine.
Mm. Sure. Oh, wow. Roseanne, that's quite a picture. It's quite a picture that you've painted. And now, knowing all of this, have you been able to pinpoint the role players?
It's a journey which some organizations have done a little bit more progress on than we have in the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
The MPA, I know, has had a number of investigations, prosecutions, that they have a number of committees which they run in relation to this. So there has been some success. I think with the partnership of the financial sector now, we'll see a lot more.
Right.
We've been able to identify so far things such as flows, yeah? So there's an organization which is called Stop the Traffic. They've been able to pull together a database showing the trafficking flows in all countries and South Africa as well. And what we do know is that victims are taken from Cape Town to France, Sweden, from South Africa as a whole to Ethiopia, Mexico, Mozambique. Victims are usually taken to Ireland, the US, the Middle East as domestic servants. And we've also seen that victims are brought into South Africa from America, other African countries, Europe, Asia. It's just, it's vast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what other crimes are associated or form a net or web with human slavery, with trafficking?
So there's a whole host of predicate offenses which can be associated with modern slavery and human trafficking. We've seen, you know, corruption, for example. So some of the typologies which we've been looking into is that There's so much of corruption at a government level, law enforcement, embassies even. You know, the victims are taken advantage of, where information is not being used by law enforcement to actually, you know, lead to prosecutions. We've seen police be involved where they don't take actions and they turn a blind eye to things like, you know, prostitution, brothels. We've seen people in embassies facilitate the bringing into the country of victims from other countries. So corruption is a massive one for us. We've seen fraud. That really also comes through very much in more detail bank type environment where, you know, people are going into your bank branches. And how we identify it, or one of the red flags we look out for, is if somebody comes in, you know, normally a female, and they seem to be unduly influenced by the person that's with them, for example. And that person is getting them to draw money or to sign documentation or to open a bank account, etc. It's all done under duress because they're obviously using these victims to generate an income and then take that income through their bank accounts. They have control over it, etc. So those are some of the key things that come to mind. Things like COVID, which is so relevant for us right now, has made people even more vulnerable to these types of crimes. People are becoming desperate for financial, sources of income. We've actually seen some very sad things through our research. We've seen babies being advertised on sites like Gumtree, because people are desperate for cash. So unfortunately, in the environment that we are in South Africa, it's so rife for, taking advantage of people and all sorts of crimes being perpetrated, which can lead to human trafficking and slavery.
Right. So you talk about corruption, you talk about government systems that have failed, you talk about the private sector systems that have failed or that are manipulated in order to further this particular crime. But if we look at the criminal underworld in itself, is it closely related to drug trafficking, the sale of drugs, for instance? What are some of the other, if we look at the criminal underworld and how it forms a broader web there? Because these are obviously systems, mainstream systems, that are being exploited to further human trafficking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the link between drugs and human trafficking is significant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many, permutations of it. The one is where they use these human trafficking victims as drug dealers, so to actually peddle the drugs on the street, getting the money, etc. Secondly, it's getting them addicted to the substance, so they use it as a means of control of the victims as well. So they definitely do go hand in hand.
So fascinating. We'll continue to track the work that Samlit does because, as I was saying, you are 2 years in and there have been successes. 37 arrests, you said a little bit earlier on, and there are more gains to be made in bringing an end to other crimes. And we'll see how this collaboration works to assist and support the Hawks and South African law enforcement. Rosanne, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to engaging with you guys further.
Thank you, Rosanne Ganni, and she's part of a steering committee member of Samlit, one of the working groups within Samlit, and she is the chairperson of a working group that looks at human trafficking. She's painted quite a picture, and they have a part to play, of course, in bringing the perpetrators to book.